In 2012, the small town of Gary, Indiana, was rocked by a series of unexplainable events that would go on to make headlines around the world. The Ammons family, a seemingly normal family of four, claimed to be possessed by demons. But it wasn't until veteran police officer Captain Charles Austin got involved that these claims were taken seriously. At first, Captain Austin dismissed the family's story as an attempt to scam money from unsuspecting individuals. However, after multiple visits to their home and interviews with witnesses, he became a believer in their terrifying ordeal. And he wasn't the only one. Official records obtained by the Indianapolis Star and interviews with law enforcement, psychologists, and even a Catholic priest all support the bizarre events that unfolded in nearly 800 pages. Welcome to No Tears for Black Girls, crafted by renowned writer John Reedberg and brought to life by the talented Samantha Paul. Listen in, subscribe, or tap in on the Alive podcast app for exclusive content. Have a case or topic you want us to delve into? Head to our website, notearsforblackgirls.com, or send us an email at notearsforblackgirls@gmail.com. It all began in a simple rental house on Carolina Street, swarms of flies appearing in the dead of winter, footsteps climbing stairs, doors opening on their own. But these strange occurrences quickly escalated into something more sinister. The Department of Child Services intervened, psychological evaluations were conducted, and exorcisms were performed. The family's openness about their experiences and the overwhelming evidence left many questioning. What really happened inside that house? But for one grandmother living in the home, Rose Campbell, there was no doubt in her mind that they were not alone. She had experienced a shadowy figure pacing her living room at night and large wet footprints appearing out of nowhere. And on one fateful night in March 2012, her granddaughter was found levitating above her bed while she and her daughter prayed for help. The family sought refuge in local churches, but were turned away until one finally listened and advised them to cleanse their home with bleach, ammonia, and anoint it with crosses made from oil. They also consulted two clairvoyants who confirmed their worst fears. Over 200 demons were plaguing their home. Despite following the clairvoyants' advice and creating an altar in their basement, the strange occurrences only intensified. Ammons claimed that she and her three young children were possessed by demons, their voices deepening and eyes bulging with each episode. It wasn't until a Catholic exorcism that the family was finally freed from this terrifying ordeal. But even after being declared free from demonic possession, the youngest boy continued to communicate with an invisible boy in a closet who described feelings of being killed, a clear sign of the sinister presence within the household. In one hair-raising incident, the seven-year-old was thrown out of a bathroom as if by an unseen force. And in another, a headboard suddenly slammed into Ammon's daughter, resulting in stitches. Was this truly a case of demonic possession or something else entirely? The evidence and personal accounts leave us questioning what really happened inside that seemingly ordinary house on Carolina Street. At just 12 years old, the young girl described being held down by an unseen entity and hearing a voice threatening to never see her family again. In a terrifying twist, Ammons' sons began speaking in demonic voices, cursing at Onyekwu, and acting violently during their possession. Medical staff even witnessed one of the boys being lifted and thrown against a wall without anyone touching him, as documented by the Department of Child Services. The situation escalated when both boys abruptly passed out and wouldn't wake up, leading to a chaotic scene with seven or eight police officers and multiple ambulances arriving on the scene. In a desperate attempt to protect her children, Ammons requested to anoint them with olive oil for protection, but was met with ridicule from hospital staff, who did not share her beliefs. As the boys woke up in the hospital, their behavior was anything but normal. The older brother remained calm and rational, while something seemed to have taken control of his younger sibling, who screamed and thrashed, requiring five grown men to restrain him. The incident raised concerns of potential abuse or neglect, with speculation of mental illness on the part of the mother. However, What happened next was beyond comprehension. Despite finding no physical signs of harm and determining that the mother was mentally sound, social worker Valerie Washington witnessed something truly chilling during her interview with the family. The youngest boy growled and showed his teeth, his eyes rolling back in his head before attacking his own brother. Later, during an interview in an exam room, the 7-year-old spoke in a deep, otherworldly voice, threatening to kill his own brother and then attacking his grandmother until she used prayer to calm him down. This was just the beginning of a series of events that left witnesses shaken and some questioning the existence of paranormal forces at play. The Washington family's once peaceful life was turned upside down by a series of inexplicable events. A 9-year-old boy displaying supernatural abilities, including walking up walls and flipping over his grandmother, shocked even medical professionals. But it wasn't just a mere trick. Something sinister was at work. A nurse who witnessed the boy's acrobatic feats reported that he seemed to glide on the floor, walls, and ceiling. The family, terrified and confused, fled the room in fear. When questioned later, the boy could not remember these occurrences. This incident led the family to question if they were dealing with something beyond our understanding, perhaps demonic possession. Even the officials from DCS who took custody of all 3 children without a court order mentioned spiritual and emotional distress as their reason. For single mother Ammons, this was devastating after everything her family had already been through. And things only got worse when a hospital chaplain called Reverend Michael Maginot, asking him to perform an exorcism on Ammons' youngest son. During their meeting, Ammons and Campbell shared terrifying experiences that had been plaguing them in their home. Maginot ruled out any natural causes and witnessed strange occurrences himself, like flickering lights and wet footprints appearing in the living room. But it was when Maginot placed a crucifix against Ammon's head that things took a truly frightening turn. She began convulsing, indicating that this demonic presence was afraid of him. This would become one of the most shocking cases of reported demonic activity in modern times, all starting with a young boy's birthday party on Carolina Street. After a grueling 4-hour interview, renowned demonologist Maginot left the house with a sense of conviction. The family was indeed being tormented by demonic forces. He performed an exorcism, invoking prayers and sprinkling holy water in every room before advising Ammons and Campbell to leave immediately for their own safety. Trusting his expertise, the 2 women temporarily relocated to a relative's home. However, curiosity got the best of them and they returned to Carolina Street just days later to meet with Washington, their DCS family case manager. Accompanied by police officers from Gary and Hammond, who were also intrigued by the case, they ventured into the house where strange occurrences seemed to be taking place. Despite Ammon's refusal to enter, Campbell bravely accompanied them on the tour. The main floor consisted of 3 bedrooms, a living room, 1 bathroom, and a small kitchen. But it was the basement that held the most disturbing evidence, a makeshift altar created by Ammons and rings of salt encircling the walls in an attempt to ward off the demons, as recounted in reports by the Hammond Police Department. The officers observed, as Campbell pointed to what she believed was the source of these evil entities, directly under the stairs. One officer's audio recorder mysteriously malfunctioned during their conversation, while another captured an eerie whisper on playback. In addition, photos taken of the house revealed unexplainable white and green apparitions lurking in the background. Even Austin, a skeptic turned believer after visiting the Carolina Street house, experienced technical malfunctions with his police-issued equipment on his way home. As we delve deeper into the complex and eerie case of Latoya Ammons, we turn to her companion Austin, who shares his own encounters with paranormal activity. He describes a chilling incident where his garage door refused to open and the driver's seat of his car moved on its own. As he recounts these startling experiences, a sense of fear and unease settles in. Could there be a link between Austin's encounters and those of Latoya? The answer remains elusive. But the unexplainable phenomena continue to haunt all those involved in this disturbing case. While mental health professionals remain skeptical, they evaluate Ammons and her children. In April 2012, the Department of Child Services takes action and petitions for temporary custody of the three children due to alleged neglect of their education. This is not the first time DCS has made such a finding. Records show they had previously found Ammons neglectful in 2009. However, Ammons defends herself by claiming that at times she couldn't send her children to school because the spirits would make them sick or keep them up all night without sleep. As her daughter and older son are placed in care facilities for evaluation, clinical psychologist Stacy Wright examines her youngest son and notes that he appears coherent and logical, except when speaking about demons. Then it seems as if something else is controlling him. As our investigation into this bizarre case continues, the mystery only deepens. The child's stories change with each retelling, often spiraling into discussions about outer space and death. After further evaluation, both clinical psychologists Dr. Wright and Joel Schwartz conclude that these delusions were likely induced by Ammons, who strongly believed their family was being tormented by demonic entities. Despite multiple psychological evaluations of Ammons, she denies any signs of psychosis or thought disorder. However, one psychologist recommends further assessment to determine if her strong religious beliefs are masking underlying delusions or perceptual disturbances. As we uncover more details behind this haunting case, questions swirl around the possibility of a deeper psychological manipulation at play. As the Department of Child Services provided support for the Ammons family, specific goals were set for Latoya and her children. These included refraining from discussions of demon possession and participating in therapy to address past behavior. While DCS recognized the strong bond between Latoya and her children, they also stressed the importance of alternative forms of discipline that did not involve religion or demonic forces. The investigation into strange events at the house on Carolina Street continued as Latoya worked towards meeting these goals while also seeking employment and appropriate housing due to the inexplicable activity in their home. On May 10, 2012, a larger group gathered at the Carolina Street house. Along with police officers, DCS case manager Samantha Illich joined them to investigate. As they entered the home after work hours, a trained police dog accompanied them, but showed no interest in any area. While others headed towards the basement, Illich couldn't resist touching a strange liquid dripping from the walls, a slimy and sticky substance that sent shivers down her spine. Meanwhile, Officer Maginot had his own theories about what could be causing the paranormal activity in the house. He believed a pentagram, or cursed objects, may be present, possibly indicating a demonic presence or portal to hell. As he questioned Latoya, officers uncovered disturbing items such as fingernails and cut-off socks buried beneath the stairs. Despite blessing the house with salt and conducting multiple investigations, things only seemed to escalate. Some experienced physical symptoms like headaches and panic attacks, while others reported eerie sensations and unexplainable occurrences. As night fell, Officer Austin made the decision to leave the house out of concern for safety. This case was unlike any other that these officers had encountered before, even those with years of experience dealing with crimes and violence. The mere mention of a demonic presence sent shivers down their spines. Despite attempts to clean up strange oil-like substances and seal off rooms, the eerie phenomena persisted. What secrets lay within this house, waiting to be revealed? Only time would tell. The involvement of Catholic priests in the form of exorcisms added a new level of intensity to the case. Father Michael Maginot documented his findings and sought permission from Bishop Dale Melchek to perform an exorcism on Latoya Ammons, something that had never been authorized in Melchek's 21-year tenure as bishop. After conducting online research and receiving guidance from other priests, Maginot was granted permission to perform a minor exorcism. The two-hour-long ritual was attended by police officers and DCS case manager Illich, who reported feeling a chilling presence in the room. However, she hesitates to label it as purely demonic. After leaving the house for the final time, Illich experienced a series of medical problems, including third-degree burns, broken ribs, hand and ankle, leading her friends to believe she had been possessed. Despite this, she brushes off their concerns with humor and maintains that she is not convinced of any supernatural forces at play. As the minor ritual began, Maginot instructed Ammons to research the names of the demons plaguing her. He believed that by knowing their names and personalities, he could gain power over them during his exorcisms. With the help of a friend, Ammons scoured the internet for demons that mirrored their experiences. The name Beelzebub, also known as Lord of the Flies, caught their attention, along with other demonic entities that specifically targeted children, a disturbing revelation that may explain the horrific events in the Ammons home. After receiving permission from Bishop Melchek, Maginot performed 3 exorcisms on Ammons at his church in June 2012. Despite the language barrier, Maginot persisted and conducted 2 exorcisms in English and a final one in Latin. During each ritual, Maginot invoked the power of God and denounced the devil, pressing a crucifix against Ammon's head as he spoke. "I cast you out, unclean spirit, along with every satanic power of the enemy, every specter from hell, and all your fell companions, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The intensity of Maginot's words echoed through the room, as if calling upon a higher power to cleanse Ammons of evil. The events that took place on Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana, have been the subject of much speculation and curiosity. Some question the validity of the claims made by Latoya Ammons, who believes that her family was plagued by demonic possession. But despite skepticism from outsiders, Ammons stands by her experiences and urges others not to dismiss them without having lived through such horrors themselves. As she adamantly states, "I know it's real." However, for those outside of the Ammons family, the story may seem far-fetched and unbelievable. A modern-day case of The Exorcist. According to official documents and testimonies from those involved, the events began with strange occurrences inside the house on Carolina Street. As Father Maginot performed exorcisms on Latoya's daughter and herself, witnesses reported seeing her convulsing in response to his forceful commands. And while some may argue that these reactions were simply psychological or attention-seeking, there were also physical manifestations witnessed by police officers and other professionals during their initial home investigation. As Father Maginot continued with the exorcism rituals, he eventually had to take a retreat, but left a backup plan in place. A woman who wrote down a long demon name on a piece of paper and surrounded it with blessed salt in case Ammons encountered further problems. This tactic proved useful as Latoya reported bad dreams, and the woman burned the envelope containing the demon's name. And even after moving to Indianapolis, where they thought they could escape the evil plaguing them, Latoya called Father Maginot about more bad dreams, leading him to perform one final exorcism. But the story doesn't end there. Despite all evidence pointing towards demonic possession, skeptics still question the validity of these claims. However, DCS monitored the children's well-being until finally closing the case in February 2013, noting significant improvements in their behavior after leaving their home on Carolina Street. And while some may argue that it was the power of suggestion or a placebo effect, even the family's case manager and her supervisor requested for the case to be dismissed after witnessing the transformation of the children. So, what really happened on Carolina Street? Was it all just a hoax or an elaborate scheme for attention? Latoya Ammons firmly believes it was God who saved her family from the clutches of evil. And while we may never know the full truth, one thing is certain. The events that took place on Carolina Street have left a lasting impact on all those involved.
Demons can actually possess you, use you. So you can give them souls, you know, and they make you take your own life, you know. So, I mean, it's real. And a lot of people don't think about it. They live their lives day to day, and you never think that it would be you.
Thank you for tuning in to No Tears for Black Girls, now a part of the Alive Podcast Network, the first Black female-owned and operated network dedicated to amplifying Black voices. If you enjoyed this episode, please show your support by following us on the Alive Podcast app, available on both iPhone and Android. You can also stay connected with us on social media and YouTube at No Tears for Black Girls, or on X at No Tears for BG. Remember to stay loved, stay blessed, and stay safe. Until next time.